Father, we thank you for yet another opportunity you give us to come into your presence. We want to glorify you. We want to exalt you. We want to magnify you. We want to declare that indeed the heavens are your throne and the earth is your footstool. That you have total dominion, authority, and power in this realm, even in the heavens. We thank you, O God, that we are indeed the workmanship of your hands. You are the potter and we are the clay. You mold us in whichever form you desire for us to be molded into. As we come into prayer tonight, O God, we are mindful that we are not coming in our own name, but we are coming in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we know that, Father, we are not coming in our own righteousness either, because our righteousness is as filthy rags before you. But we come in the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of David. And Father, we know that as we come, you have made us kings and priests unto you, O God. We are not coming empty-handed. We are coming by the way of the blood of Jesus. As we come, O God, we are coming by faith tonight. Via the ways we have expressed, we are coming by faith tonight, knowing that without faith it is impossible to please you. We are asking, O God, that you release a measure of faith unto us tonight as we pray. Faith that is pleasing to you. Faith that will cause things to be accomplished here on the earth as you have ordained it for it to be done. You saw this day before the worlds were even formed. Bring us into alignment with that which you had in mind when you saw this day, with that which you had in mind when you formed this day, that which you said you were going to do in this hour. Bring us into alignment with those things in the name of Jesus. Take us to a place in you that we have never been before. Give us an experience of your presence that we have never had before in the name of Jesus. Let this not be an hour where we can just say we prayed, but let this be an hour where we can say we prayed and there was a response from our Heavenly Father. That we were able to touch the horns of the altar and we saw something beginning to shift. We know that, Father, you are bringing us into a season of transition. You are bringing us into a season of change. We are seeing things shifting right before our eyes. Men trying to figure out and understand the way that things are happening, trying to find the causation of the things that are happening. But, Father, we know by faith that you ordained that they shall be seasons and times such as this. And we know that because it is a day that you have made, we rejoice because of the transition that we are seeing. We rejoice because you are confounding the ways of man. You are elevating your ways. Who can understand the ways of our God? But God knows everything that is in the heart of man. God knows the intention of every man. We are grateful, O God, to know that our days are in your hands, to know that you are ordering our footsteps. The thoughts that you have for us, O God, concerning us, are not to do us any harm, but to bring us to a place, to bring us to that expected end. Therefore, Father, we are not concerned with the transitions as per se, because we know that it will not bring destruction our way. For your word says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. We thank you for the way you are ordering our footsteps, for the places you are leading us into. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We thank you, O God, for the angels you have given charge over us, for the angels that are going to and fro in the earth, doing your bidding on our behalf. We thank you, O God, for the things that they are gathering concerning us. We thank you, God, that you have sent them to all the corners of the earth to gather what must come into our lives. We thank you, God, for the battles that they are engaging on our behalf. We thank you for the demonic spirits that are being kept at bay because of the generals who have given authority over us. We thank you, O God. We bless you, O God, for keeping us from dangers that we have seen, even from the dangers that we haven't even been able to see. We thank you, O God, for keeping us in places that we are supposed to be in and keeping us away from the places that we are not supposed to enter into. It is only but by your hand that we are able to stand even in this day. It is only but by your hand, O Oh God, we are able to rejoice even in this hour because you have been good to us. You have been kind to us. You have been merciful to us. Now God, as we are lifting up our voices, lifting up our hearts and our spirits towards the heavens, oh God, may our response be adequate, oh God, for that which you have done. We give you glory. We thank you, oh God, for being the one who causes the weak to say, I am strong. For the one who causes to being the one who causes the poor to say, I am rich. For the one who causes the one who's downtrodden to rise up and say, I am strong with God. For causing us, the ones who are afflicted, to have hope and faith that there is a God in heaven who is not a respecter of persons, but who sees all things. You are indeed our delight. You are indeed our joy. In the midst of affliction, we have a hope that there is a God who is our refuge and our fortress. In the midst of the greatest battle of our lives, we know that there is a God who is the God of war, Jehovah Gibeah, the one who clothes himself in the garments of war, and he will fight on our behalf in the name of Jesus. And Father, we know that you've never lost a battle. And you will not lose one concerning us. Oh, you indeed declare that all things are working together for our good. Even what we are going through right now, God, it is working for our good. You are bringing us to that expected end. We rejoice not only because of the expected end, but Father, the things you are revealing to us as we are going through the journey, the things you are revealing to us as we are going through the midst of adversity, the things you are revealing to us, oh God, as we go through the battle. We thank you, oh God, that even in the midst of the valley, you are still God. You are the one who causes, oh God, the wells to spring forth, the springs to come in the midst of the desert. You are the one, oh God, who is present wherever we are. For you said you are a God. You are the omniscient God, omnipresent God. You know all things. You see all things. And you are the one who has all power in heaven and in earth, oh God. We thank and we praise you that nothing happens in our lives that is going to be a surprise to you, oh God. For you know all things and you see all things. Now, Father, tonight we are making a declaration here in the earth. We are the chosen of God. We are the ones that God is looking out for. Your word says creation mourns and groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. We have not positioned ourselves into sonship, but by the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father, you have brought us into fellowship with you, O God. You say by your word, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Holy Spirit, as you are doing a work in us, lead us into that place that God desires for us to operate in. Let us operate in our own wisdom, nor in our own understanding. But as the Spirit of God gives wisdom, knowledge, and understanding unto us, let us begin to operate. As we stand in places of government, we may not have titles, but God, by prayer, will legislate some things in the earth in the name of Jesus. And Father, right now, we declare that God, every plan that the enemy has crafted, for our destruction, we declare from this position of governmental authority, being the sons of the Most High God, we declare that his plans are going to fail in the name of Jesus. Every plan he has devised to bring destruction to our lives, we declare that it will not prevail in the name of Jesus. Every arrow, God, that has been crafted to work against us, we declare that it will not prevail in the name of Jesus. Every curse has been spoken against us, oh God, we declare that that curse will not find a landing place on in our lives in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for your word says no man can curse that which you have blessed, oh God. We are the blessed of the Lord, blessed in our coming and blessed in our going, not because of our own doing, but by the grace of God that you have extended unto us, O God. We experience and walk in the full covering of the blessings you have bestowed upon us. We thank you, O God, and we praise you, O God, that whatever the enemy has desired to bring death into our lives, God, by the authority of the tongue, we declare that death will not prevail. There is going to be life in the name of Jesus. Where there has been hopelessness that has been crafted, we declare that our God is the one who gives hope. He is the one who restores. He is the one who gives unto us all the good things. Therefore, there is going to be a restoration of hope in the name of Jesus. God, where everything we have established seemingly is being destroyed, oh God, we declare that our God is the God who rebuilds the breached walls. Our God is a God who causes things to spring forth out of the ashes. Our God is the one who causes beauty to come from the ruins. We declare tonight in the name of Jesus, marriages that are under attack, they will not be destroyed, for our God has declared that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Father, your word says, should the enemy come in as a flood, you said your spirit will raise up a standard against him, O God. Tonight we declare that the word of God we are standing upon, the word of God that says he will never fail us, the word of God that says he will never leave us, the word of God that says he will never forsake us, the word of God that says he is our refuge, the word of God that says he is our fortress, the word of God that says he is our shepherd, the word of God say that he is our defender. We are standing upon that word, and let that word be raised up as a standard against what the enemy is trying to do. Your word says, let God be true and every man be a liar. God, you are true to your word. You do not repent at the word you have spoken, God, and your word shall not return to you void, but will accomplish everything you have sent it to accomplish. Therefore, Father, tonight we declare that that word we are standing upon will not fail. That word we are standing upon, O God, shall prevail for the glory of our Father in heaven. We rejoice for the prevailing word that he is sending into our lives. We declare that God is victorious. Even though the battle is going thick, we know that our God is already standing on the other side of victory. We rejoice, O God. Tonight I declare that there is somebody who has been going through affliction, but God, tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up from your throne and let our enemies begin to scatter, because our God is coming with vengeance in the name of Jesus. You have to understand that no matter what you are going through, there is a set moment, a designated moment, an acceptable time with God when the end of your affliction shall come. I declare in the name of Jesus, the end of your affliction will not be delayed in the name of Jesus. Sarabande bro shekebia rabande bro teria rabashekeria baran. May God bring now the end of your affliction. May God bring now the end of your pain. May God now bring the end of your emotional pain in the name of Jesus. When God brings an end to your pain, when God brings an end to your sorrow, he just does not declare the end, because him declaring the end means you are still showing the effects of what you have been going through. But I know that my God is a God who does the exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. Therefore, I declare that tonight the emotional scars are going to be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because if God leaves you with the scars of your pain, if God leaves you with the affliction or the results of the affliction, then God will not be the God who does the exceedingly, the abundantly, the above all that you could ever ask or think. Therefore, God will not leave you to say, I went through the test, but God will give you a testimony at the end in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God will give you a song of
rejoicing because of your affliction. Therefore, I declare that tonight, oh baby, get your pen and your paper. Begin to write the song of rejoicing. Begin to write the song of deliverance. Begin to write the song of salvation. Begin to write the thing that God has done, the song of victory, because God is bringing you out, not just to leave you out, but God is bringing you out, giving you something so that you can be an effective agent in the kingdom of God. And your testimony will be, surely all things work together for the good. I have seen the good that this affliction has worked in my life in the name of Jesus. Now you have to understand, when you begin to say things such as these, there is a great excitement, but our excitement comes from that expectation where we are looking at the end of the matter that we are going through. But I want to let you know, you don't have to wait for the end of your matter for you to rejoice, because in the midst of what you are going through, God is showing himself strong. God is showing himself mighty. If there is but one great thing you take from what you are going through, is that now you know God more than you did yesterday. Now you know God more than you did before you went into your affliction, before you went into your pain. Somebody say hallelujah. Before you went into the wilderness, you did not know God at that particular level, but when you go through the wilderness, there's going to be a level of intimacy with God, and God has been pulling you through the wilderness, ordering your footsteps. You are going to know that God is a healer, because in your wilderness there has been some sickness. Now you're gonna say, yes, I know that he is my healer because he healed me. I know that he is my deliverer because he delivered me. I know that he is the God of my salvation because he saved me. In the name of Jesus, I want to tell somebody here tonight that God is about to get into the midst of your situation. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel strongly in my spirit that we may be a season of uncertainty. It may be a season where we don't really know which way things are going, but it is the greatest season of our lives, because we are about to see the hand of God orchestrating. Oh shaka brase ke kibronde be sharari rai bronde bakarande. Can I just tell somebody, God is about to show you the tip of his hand. God is about to show you what he has been doing. God is about to show you what he has been working for on your behalf. God is about to show you what he has been doing in your life. God is about to do great and mightier in your life, just to show you that he is God, just to show you that he is mighty, just to show you that he does all the great and mighty things that he promised to do in your life. I pray that tonight somebody will have a determination in their spirit that the days of greatness are about to come upon you. The days of rejoicing are about to come over you because of what God is doing in your life. I thank him for the great things. I thank him for the magnificent things. I thank him for the, oh Jesus, 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 Jesus. Somebody lift up your hands where you are and magnify the Lord all by yourself. Tell God, you are my God. You are my salvation. You are my healer. You are the one who is indeed sitting up in the heavens. Yes, oh God, over my life rule and reign. Yes, oh God, over my life rule and reign. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let God now cause you to rejoice. Let God now cause you to rejoice. Let God cause you to rejoice. Let God cause you to rejoice. Let God cause you to rejoice. God cause you to rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Again I say rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, in the name of Jesus. I want to deliberate on a few things tonight. I want to deliberate on a few things tonight. Then we are going to pray some more. I want to deliberate on these things so we can have a better understanding of the kind of prayer that we are being required to engage upon tonight. I want to let you know that there is a certain place in a believer's life, a certain place in a man's life, a certain place in a child of God's life that most of us do not want to find ourselves in, but that place is a place of necessity. It is a place that God requires for us to enter into. Somebody say amen. The place we are required to enter into. Now you have to understand, from this perspective, that everything in the earth has been made by God. Made by God for His pleasure. Made by God. So, because everything that is in the earth has been made by God, every place you find yourself into, chances is it has been made by God. I want to speak specifically about the place called the wilderness. I want to speak specifically about the place called the desert, because a desert and a wilderness are one and the same thing. You have to understand that every desert is a wilderness and not every wilderness is a desert. That means you're going to find yourself in a place where wilderness means a place that has not been inhabited, a place where it is hostile to your survival because it is new. No man has walked through that way, or men have, but there's nobody who inhabits that place. And whenever you talk about being a desert, it becomes a special wilderness where there is no vegetation, there is no water. It becomes a desert. Now, why do I say these things? Because I want us to understand that as we are walking through life, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver them from all, which means you and I are going to go through some things. It doesn't mean we have sinned against God. It doesn't mean God is not looking out for us, but a wilderness is a place of necessity in the development of a believer. The wilderness is a necessity in the development of a believer. You have to understand that the anointed one, Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, the captain of our salvation, the Bible says that day when he came by the river Jordan, he was baptized by John, but the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness, because a wilderness is a place of necessity. Watch this. God said, I'm going to deliver the nation of Israel out of Egypt. But God did not take them straight into the promised land. He took them by the way of the wilderness so that he may prove them. Why was he proving them? If God knows everything that is inside of a man, God knows what the man thinks, God knows what is inside a man, God did not need to prove them before him. God wanted to show them what was inside of them. So sometimes you go through a place of dryness, a place where you feel you are so far away from God, you are so far away from everybody. It's more like you are in a desert, you are in a wilderness. But in that place, God wants to show you what is inside of you. God wants to show you that it is time for you to let go of the things you have been trusting in, to let go of the things you have been leaning on, and lean on God. Hope in God. Have faith in God. Somebody say amen. Have faith in God. Have hope in God. Have trust in God. And walk with God. So that means you are going to go through a season of wilderness. You are going to go through a season of being in a desert. Hallelujah. 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 If you wanted to know, let me give you an example of a desert from this perspective here. You know that Samuel was called by God to go and anoint David to be the king. David, you have been anointed to be the king. The Bible says the Spirit that was on Saul came from Saul, the Spirit came on David, and the demonic spirit came over Saul. But David did not go and sit by the throne. David had to go through some things before he could sit on the throne. And the journey that David took from the time he was anointed to the time that he sat on the throne, that was his wilderness. But in that moment, as David was walking in the wilderness, David got powerful relationships that helped him get in the fullness of what God had in mind for his life. In the wilderness, the man of war, the mighty man of David, they came to David in the wilderness. You have to understand that David fought most of the greatest battles of his life in the wilderness. You have to understand that in the wilderness we got the revelation where David said, "Touch not God's anointed one," because David was showing us that the wilderness is necessary in our life, not just because we have to go through it, but there are things that God is going to reveal to us in the wilderness. If you look at the children of Israel, do you know that it was in the wilderness, it was in the desert, that it was revealed that God is the one who causes water to flow from the rock? In the desert, in the wilderness, it is in the place where they were in the valley, where they had to fight, that God showed them that he is Jehovah Nissi. It is in the wilderness where God appeared in the mountain, the fullness of his glory, with rumblings and thunderings in the wilderness. It is a place where Elijah went into to find a place of refuge, a place of safety. It is a moment when Paul was anointed to go into ministry, but he said, "I did not go by the way of the apostles, but I went into the wilderness as per se," because he had to go through the system to be detached from certain things so he can be attached to God. You know that Moses was pulled from the river, lived in Pharaoh's house for 40 years, killed an Egyptian soldier. But at that moment, Moses could not stay there. He had to go into the wilderness, into the desert, for him to be deprogrammed, to be reprogrammed with the things of God, so that he can go and fulfill his assignment. So why do I say all the things I am saying right here? I want to let you know that you may be going through your wilderness. Don't just look for the end part of your wilderness, but enjoy the journey you are going through the wilderness, because the wilderness will reveal your identity. Your wilderness will reveal your true source in the name of Jesus. I want to thank God for whatever you are going through. I know that many people don't tell you that. They can tell you that you are coming out, but I want to say I thank God for what you are going through, because of what you are going to receive as God reveals himself. I thank God for the struggles you have been through, because you are still standing. I thank God for what you have had to endure, because you endured. Paul said to us, Paul said, "Now the afflictions of the present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall yet be revealed in us." I want to let you know that the afflictions you are going through right now are not worthy to be compared to the glory that God is going to bring out in your life. As you are going through your desert experience, as you are going through your wilderness experience, don't forget to rejoice, because God, David said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me." Anybody hearing me? So that means now, whatever you are going through, Moses said, "God, I will not go if you are not going with us." That means God was with them in the wilderness. God was with them in the desert. So in the midst of the struggle you are going through, your family, God is with you in the name of Jesus. Through the sickness and the pain that you are enduring right now, God is there with you. Shakaba proshebe kebru tabahande brehe rashaba karabanda rahaya. So I said all those things that I have said because I want to pray for us. I want to pray for God to release strength for you to be able to endure, for God to release the strength for you to be able to go through your wilderness season, knowing that you're going to come on the other side more wiser, more stronger, with greater revelation. Therefore, Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, Father, tonight in the name of the Lamb, oh God, I pray, God, for an endowment of strength upon your sons and daughters that are going through their wilderness season, that some are finding themselves in the midst of a barren season, in the midst of the greatest desert of their lives. I pray that tonight in the name of Jesus, you will remind them, oh God, that they mustn't grow weary in well-doing, even though they are going through the season of wilderness. Give them the strength, oh God, to know that it shall be well in the end, to know that God, even the things that they are going through, they are going to serve a purpose when they are standing on the other side. But God, as long as there is a wilderness, we know that there is a promised land. Give them the strength, oh God, to be able to see the things
everything that has been laid before them, to see the promise that you have set before them, oh God, the promise where you are leading them into, in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you and I praise you for that word you put in our spirit. It's going to be great. It's going to be wild. It's going to be full of God. I declare that the end is coming. It's going to be great. It's going to be full of God, in the name of Jesus. Now I declare right now, in the name of Jesus, to know that you may be in a place where the wilderness is overwhelming. You may be in a place where you cannot see where you came from. You cannot see where you are going. But I want to let you know, God is ordering your footsteps. Just take it one day at a time. God is bringing you out. God is bringing you out. God is bringing you out. Do not complain, because if you complain, you prolong your wilderness. Do not complain, because if you complain in the Karada Roshabarande Brosara, don't doubt the thing that God is doing in your life, in the name of Jesus. God says, my ways are not your ways, they are higher than yours. Just trust in Him. God does not require you to walk by sight, but He requires for you to walk by faith. Walk by faith, knowing that God is doing that which He promised her. He said, I will not withhold any good thing from you, in the name of Jesus. Therefore, God is. Can I just tell somebody? Kubra shaka broshe beka bibrandi sarabahaya kurabasande brokuria bahaya. We have to understand, in the name of Jesus. It was in the wilderness that they received manna from heaven. It is in the wilderness, in the name of Jesus. Can somebody, I tell somebody here tonight, God is about to cause you to feed from a different source. God is about to cause you to eat from a different place. You've been getting your revelation from what other men have been preaching. You've been getting your revelation from what other men have been singing. But God is changing your feeding place, in the name of Jesus. Now you are going to receive revelation from on high in the wilderness. You're going to receive insight from on high in the wilderness, in the name of Jesus. That's why I say, I thank God for the afflictions you are going through. I thank God for the pains you are going through, because they are all indeed working together for your good, in the name of Jesus. You may not see it, you may not see it, you may not see it, but I want to let you know, at the end of your test, there is a testimony. At the end of your battle, there is a victory, in the name of Jesus. At the end of your sorrow, there is rejoicing. At the end of your ashes, there is beauty. He said, you will give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That means even though there's a spirit of heaviness on you, there is going to be a garment of praise that is coming, in the name of Jesus. Halabashin. So I want to let you know, where you are right now, I thank God. I thank God for what you are going through. I thank God for what the enemy is trying to do in your life, because it is working together for your good. And when you see it, oh Shabahidi Yabarande, because you see, if you only look at the final result, at the outcome of what you're going through, you minimize all the greater things that God has done in between. You minimize and you tend to neglect the revelation. Can I just tell somebody, there is a moment when you did not have any money and God sent somebody to bless you. And you can say, you can rejoice because of the blessing, or you can rejoice knowing that God hears your prayer. Two different things, two different perspectives, in the name of Jesus. Two different perspectives. There is a moment where you are going through your life. You don't know whether you're going to tend to the left or you're going to tend to the right. And there you are crying in the midnight hour, in the midst of your wilderness. God, I'm alone. I'm afflicted. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I don't know if I'm going to make it tomorrow, what tomorrow will be. And when you wake up in the morning, somebody knocks on your door. Shalabai. Somebody knocks on your door and says, let's go here. And when you go there, you realize that's where you needed to be. You can rejoice because you are in the place where you needed to be. Or you can rejoice because God heard your cry and saw your tears and sent somebody by your door in the morning. Therefore, the revelation will be, I was in the wilderness. I know that God brought me in the promised land. That was a given. He said, I will bring in the land that I promised your forefathers. That was a given when I was speaking to Israel. But God says, in between, you are going to see things about me that your fathers never saw. You're going to see things about me that others have... We, even our generation, long to see the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But the generation that saw it, they saw greater things in the wilderness, in the name of Jesus, in the wilderness. So I say tonight, I pray for God to give you strength. I pray for God to give you the capacity to be able to withstand everything that the enemy is bringing your way, knowing that whatever you are going through, the outcome is going to be even better than what you have imagined. There are great things that are coming because God is leading you. There are greater things that are coming because God is directing you. He is leading you into places that you have never ever dreamt of. But for you to get the promised land, you must go through your wilderness. You must go through your desert places. But it's all working together for what? It's all working together for your good. Now, whenever you begin to address such things, deliberate on such things about wilderness and all the stuff, we understand that there are people that are going through different seasons. Some people, you are in a place of rejoicing, but I want to let you know your wilderness is coming. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because when you come on the other side, you're going to be better than what you are right now. You're going to be greater than where you are right now. Wherever you are is great, but when you come on the other side, it's going to be greater in the name of Jesus. You may be wise where you are, but when you come on the other side of your wilderness, you're going to be wiser. There are some that are going, that are already stepping, they've already stepped into their wilderness. I want to let you know, I don't know how long it's going to be, but I want to let you know it's going to be the greatest journey of your life. Is going to be a great journey filled with great revelation, great insight, great understanding, that when you look on the other side, you won't just rejoice because you're in the promised land, but you will rejoice for all the things that God has done for you through your journey. And there are some that are almost at the end of their wilderness. They're about to enter into the promised land. They're about to enter in that place that everything has been working together for. I want to let you know the journey is not long. It's coming to an end. Just hold on to God. Hold on to the hand of God. Hold on to the hand of God. Keep trusting God. God is going to bring you out in a few more days. God's going to bring you out in a few more days, and you're going to be rejoicing. Now, for some that have just come through, that have just gone through their season of the wilderness, they are standing in the promised land. Don't forget, in that place, it is God who gives you the power to get wealth. It is God who has brought you through the wilderness. And don't forget, in what sustains you in the promised land, what sustains you in the place of increase, what sustains you in the place of rejoicing, what sustains you in the place of health, are all the things that you endured in the wilderness. So I can safely say this: the wilderness, as you have been going through, is a place of preparation for the promised land that you are going into. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So all I say, I did say all things work together for the good. Your affliction is working. Your pain is working. Your tears are working. Your cry is working. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I don't know where you are. You may be discouraged, but find this courage tonight. Be encouraged tonight that God is watching over you. God is leading you in the name of Jesus. God says He will never give you something that more than what you can bear. More than what you can bear. I wish I would say all things to make you happy and make you smile, but I want to let you know, a desert is necessary. A wilderness is necessary. Because the revelation from that place, nobody can ever give you that revelation. But the wilderness, it will test you and teach you how to trust in God. It will teach you of how to hold on to the hand of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And there, if you, I don't really want to give you any specific scriptures, but I want to let you know that the Bible is replete with examples of people that went through the wildernesses. And I gave you the one of our Lord and Savior. I gave you one about Paul. I gave you one about David. I gave you one about Moses. I gave you one about the children of Israel, how they had to go through their wilderness so that they could see the hand of God on the other side. And now, all the things that I have said here tonight, I know that we still got a few more minutes and we got a few more minutes to pray, but I want to say, so my intention of saying this was for me to ask for God to give you strength to be able to endure the last leg of your wilderness, for God to be able to give you the strength to be able to see the hope that is laid before you, the promised land that is before you as you are going through your wilderness. Somebody say amen, 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 and amen. Now that basically means, now whenever we speak about all this wilderness, sometimes the wilderness experience you are not really going through in terms of going through the affliction as per se physically, but you go because you see your sons and your daughters doing things that are unseemingly, doing things that are going to cause you pain, doing things that are causing you affliction, things that are causing you sleepless nights, things that are causing you to just be in doubt. You just have this fear every time the phone rings. You have this fear to say, maybe there's something going on with my son, there's something going on with my daughter. You're just fearful when you hear that phone call, maybe that somebody is dying. You hear that phone call, maybe somebody is going to prison. I want to let you know that may just be your wilderness, but God says the end is almost here. And I told you that when God does it, He's going to do it in a more excellent way, exceedingly abundantly above all that you've ever asked or think or thought. You want God to deliver your children, but God will not just deliver your children. He will deliver them, set them free, and make them mighty men of God. Are you hearing me? God, He gave us an example again when the prodigal son took his inheritance and left and squandered everything that he had. When he came back, the father gave him back his seal, his ring. The father gave him back his garment. The father gave him his shoes. And the father gave him back his rightful place as a son. So I want to let you know, when God begins to bring restoration to your sons and your daughters, when this wilderness is coming to an end, I want to let you know. Can I just tell somebody here tonight that God is going to give your sons and your daughters houses that they did not build in the name of Jesus. God is going to cause them to be inheritors of land. God is going to cause them to be makers of witty inventions. God is going to cause them to be mighty men of wisdom when He has delivered them. If you want an example, find the men that left their place to follow David into the wilderness. When they came out with David, they were a fighting machine, and now we know them as the mighty men of David. I want to let you know that there is a man, God said by Malachi, I will send somebody, a voice crying out in the wilderness, crying out, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He wasn't crying out in the city, he was crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord. I want to let you know, you're going to hear that voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord. You're going to hear that voice. Even your sons and your daughters are going to hear that voice in the name of Jesus. And when they turn, they are going to astound you. They're going to astonish you, because when they turn, you are thinking they don't know much about scripture. You're going to realize they know so much more, because in the place that they've been, God has been schooling them. Somebody say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God has been teaching them. If you want an example, let me give you one that God will teach your children even in their affliction. The prodigal son got to a place where he said, it is better for me to be a servant in my father's house. than to me, for me to be here. It was because of that determination, because of that wisdom, because of that understanding, that he was able to go back and be restored. Your sons and your daughters, they know they're going to get to a place where they're going to say, it is better for me to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. It is better for me than to be out here in the world. I'm telling you, some of your sons and your daughters are going to do great exploits for the kingdom of God. They're going to be mighty men of God and women of God, highly anointed, highly gifted because of what God wants to do. I speak to your grandchildren. I speak to your great-grandchildren. Rise up and partake of the blessing that has been placed upon the bloodline. Receive your inheritance in the name of Jesus. Go and possess houses that you did not build. Can I just tell somebody here tonight, the houses that the sons did not build, their fathers paid for them by their sweat when they were working as slaves in Egypt. In the name of Jesus. So I want to let you know, all your prayer, all your crying and all your affliction, all your intercession, can I just tell you this? It is down payment for the houses that they did not build. That's going to come into their lives. Prophets rising, apostles rising, evangelists rising, pastors rising, teachers rising, because you have made the down payment through your prayers. You have made the down payment through your tears. You have made the down payment through your intercession for them in the name of Jesus. So I want to let you know that nothing that you are doing right now is in vain. It is all working. It is all working. It is all working in the name of Jesus. All working in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you, the working is not really just to do with the end. It is to do with the process that you have had to endure. So, I've got a few things here that I want to let you know as you are going through the wilderness. As you're going through your wilderness, you're going through your desert place. I want to remind you this. Number one, all things work together for the good. And the good is not just the outcome. It's all the revelations that are going to come in between. That's number one. Number two, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He did not say, I'm going to order your forces when everything is going okay. Through every season, he is ordering your footsteps. Number three, he will never leave you nor forsake you. David said, even if I make my bed in the pit of hell, thou art with me. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And here's the thing. Number four, God knows all things and sees all things. And everything that he allows to happen in your life is part of his process. Number five, God does not tempt you. Are you hearing me? In the wilderness, there is going to be temptation, but it's not God who's tempting you. God does not tempt you, but the devil does. And what is inside of you will come out when you are tempted. Jesus' response to temptation was, it is written. It is written. It is written. And here are two here. Remember, the devil does not create anything. He manipulates, he perverts, and he abuses. He doesn't create, but he manipulates, he perverts and abuses what has been created. But whatever has been created, God had a purpose for it. He created the desert and the wilderness because he has a purpose for them. And just to solidify that point, you can just go read Ecclesiastes 3, to change everything under the sun. There is a season and a time. And there is a purpose for everything under heaven. There's a purpose for everything under heaven. And let me give you a few more things here. And I'll be done. We can pray for a few more minutes. And this is what I want to just remind you of. Something that I think somebody can just be encouraged. Let me see if I can find it here. I have it here. I want to say, as you are going through your wilderness, do not disconnect from God. Do not disconnect from God. If you are not connected, reconnect with God in your wilderness. In your wilderness, it is an opportunity for you to disconnect from the systems of the flesh to those that govern your spirit. And here's other thing that I'll say finally for tonight. A wilderness is for you to detox from some things. It's a time for you to cut off some things. Somebody say amen. And I can tell you why I say some to cut off some things. You know, television is great at entertaining, but it won't give you life. Neighborhood chatter and gossip can entertain you, but it won't bring you life. The flesh will lust for great things, but the things that the flesh will lust are only leading you to death. So God is taking you through the wilderness to disconnect from all the systems that are speaking your destruction and connect you to all the systems that are going to bring you life and life in abundance. Father, we have obeyed your word. We have obeyed your instruction. We have gathered and we have prayed. We have believed and we have had our faith raised up. Now there is an expectation in us that you are going to do something greater and magnificent. Father, we are not waiting only for the outcome, but we anticipate all the great things you are doing as we are going through this desert and this barren land. Bring us to the other side and let us not forget the testimony that has been written in between. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every man, every woman on this prayer line tonight. Hear their prayer. Attend to their supplication. Meet them at their point of need. Whatever they need, you are the many-breasted one. You are the all-sufficient God. Provide in the name of Jesus. Anybody who needs healing, I declare that you are the healer. Anybody who needs deliverance, I declare that you are the deliverer. Anybody who needs salvation, I declare that you are the Savior. Anybody who requires a breakthrough, I declare that you are the God of the breakthrough in the name of Jesus. You are the God who is a shield. Keep the fiery darts away from them in the name of Jesus. And Father, you are the one who gives sight to the blind. Anybody looking to know and see more about God, Give them
sight, insight, and foresight
in the name of Jesus. The full range of sight in the name of Jesus. As they peruse through your word, may the words now bring life into their being in the name of Jesus. And I speak to their spirit, man. Be strengthened in the name of Jesus. And I speak to the works of their hands. You will prosper. To the works I speak, you will prosper in the name of Jesus. To the thoughts and intentions that are upon them, I declare that they will not fail, but they will succeed in the name of Jesus. And Father, they will not grow weary in doing that which has been allocated to them in the name of Jesus. In the name of your Son, we have prayed. In the name of your Son, we are praying. And in the name of your Son, we are believing. Somebody say amen, 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 and amen. Oh, I thank God for taking the time to give us here to come together in prayer, to be in agreement, to call upon His name, and to see what God is going to do. I hope that somebody has been encouraged. No matter what you're going through, the wilderness is necessary. And learn and embrace all the lessons that have to do with your wilderness. And I tell you what, when you're on the other side, don't forget to send us your testimony of what God has done through your test. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. I heard one preacher make a definition of testimony that I've held dear to my heart, and why I think testimonies are very significant. He said one of the meanings of testimony in the Greek is do it again. Do it again. So do it again. So if I say I'm testifying and you are hearing my testimony, I'm actually declaring that God can do it again for you. So may your testimony be an encouragement to others. And when you tell your testimony, do not garnish your testimony, but tell it like it is. It's enough by itself in the name of Jesus. No need to write a Hollywood movie. Just tell your story of how God found you, how He saved you, and set you free in the name of Jesus. I can just echo these words here. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen, amen, and amen. And one final thought. A preacher always closes 7-8 times. One final thought. This is the day that the Lord has made. You will rejoice. I'm not saying you might. I'm saying you will rejoice. And you will be glad. And why do I say that? Why do I say that? You will rejoice because I know that God has already done things in this day. He has already done things in this day. And those things are going to show you how good and excellent God is.